Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about monsters.
2010.
Yeah, this is Gareth Edwards' first movie. And I'd seen it before. I'd seen it a while ago, I think, even before his Godzilla movie came out.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, I didn't remember much about it. And there might be reasons. It's really light on the giant monsters. Almost to almost as much as was it Daimajin, where it's like 10 minutes left and he still wasn't awake.
No, I mean you get a taste of the very beginning. So in that sense, it doesn't feel like Daimajin, where it's just like you're waiting for someone to show up.
Yeah, watching it again, I realized that the beginning with the night vision and stuff.
Yeah.
Takes place after the main story.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, when you figure out, oh, it's those guys. Yeah. The fact that we come back and it's like, oh, these guys at the end are, you know, the guys who we saw at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a lot of notes, but I'm interested in talking about the movie. And
a lot of my notes are like questions that I kind of thought to myself watching while I watched the movie.
Yeah, because you know, it's
like,
more of...
I'm like, is it a squid?
Yeah, it looks like a squid with spider legs.
Yeah, it's more... I was like, oh, it's an octopus. Yeah, okay, well, let's get into it. Because I liked the opening bit. I thought doing it with the night vision was good. And it's forgiving, for one thing. All the night... Like, the octopuses, The one scene that comes later where it's actually really well lit, and they really go into detail on the tentacle. That's the part where I was going, okay, I can kind of, this kind of feels very effects-y, as opposed to, you know, the stuff that's from a distance where he's like, where they're hovering above the trees.
Are you talking about when the tentacles are coming into the gas station?
Yeah.
Yeah, for me it was the same, but it's kind of tough because also, like, the lighting, it's like this really unnatural, like, fluorescent light. But then there's lights moving through the creature itself.
Yeah, because they're, like, bioluminescent.
Yeah, so it makes it look like a more like a lesser CG effect than I think what was intended.
Right.
I feel like if the lighting effect wasn't inside the thing.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But so, like, at the beginning, there's this little night vision sequence where you see soldiers dealing with the octopus. And there's a part at the end where it seems like, did the helicopter crash into it, or did something crash into it? The jet?
I thought they had launched a missile at it.
And we rode the missile into the monster?
Yeah.
I like the stuff, like the burnt tentacle.
Uh-huh. Like the one hanging on the side of the building?
Yeah, that stuff, that's good. I thought that worked really well. All, like, the rusted out, like, the tanks or the ships, the planes in the water, or those people who are, like, they have, like, the engine that says USAF that fell off of some plane or something, and they're just kind of pulling it with, like, a horse wagon and stuff. I thought that was cool. The Chiron said San Jose, Central America.
Okay.
And it was like, we're missing, is it Costa Rica? It's like Central America is such a generic thing. That was a little, by the time, by that moment, I was like, I had finally come to, so the aliens are octopuses.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of make the decision. I go, all right, that's what they are.
Yeah. They also have, like, rigid legs, too, as well, so they can walk on land.
Well, octopuses can walk on land.
But not with, like, they, like,
not on their tippy toes.
Yeah.
Not on their tippy toes. Right. Right. But everything else is octopus.
Yeah.
They go to the house. The stuff on the news, I like. There's always the news reports of, you know, them dealing with an octopus somewhere. That was cool. And by the way, I'm just going to be calling octopuses.
Okay.
This whole show. And that's not so much for you as it is for the people listening, that if it annoys you that I'm referring to the aliens, I'm just saying that they're octopuses. Okay. They're octopuses. And so, but I also liked how they had this kind of like this cartoon that kind of goes over the mask and talks about, you know, to tell the kids, hey, here's how you put on your mask. And you can put on your mask and stuff like that. But that was cool. Mm-hmm. So the main guy,
Scoot McNairy.
Yeah. It was interesting because there is definitely shadiness. Uh-huh. Like, you know, there's stuff that appealed to you, and then there's stuff that you'd be shady, or like when he's lying about his phone call and you're like going, what's going on with this guy? Like, you didn't know if you could trust him.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I liked that. I liked his line when the girl, Whitney Able, when she the daughter of the magazine guy and or newspaper guy, and she was talking about how him profiting on other people's misfortune.
Yeah.
And his answer is like, you mean like a doctor? And I thought that was a pretty good line.
Yeah.
And then later he talks about how like that her dad pays him $50,000 for a picture of a dead kid.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, nothing for a picture of a happy kid. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, because then that moment pays off later.
Yeah. Watching this movie, it makes sense why Gareth Edwards went on to direct the Godzilla movie.
I mean, you can definitely see this movie informing how he did the Godzilla movie for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's maybe one of the more realistic takes on kaiju movies, I think. Like, it's like, I'm sure if there were real kaijus, we wouldn't see them all the time.
Really well cast. All the, like, the actors that played the local guys that they had to deal with, like the guy at the ferry.
Yeah.
I thought he was exactly right.
Yeah.
In the way he handled it all, and the way it all set, you know, had all the trouble. There was, I remember when I did look up a little bit about this movie, and part of what was interesting, it seemed like he kept trying to make some kind of movie, and then movies would come out which were like kind of too similar to what he wanted, that it would he'd have to scrap the idea and try another angle or try something different. Like, there was some, you know, it was like he had like an idea. A monster movie. He wanted to expand at the end of a monster movie and set in Siberia, because he did a short in '96, and it's about a monster movie set in suburbia. and then War of the Worlds comes out, and he was like, "All right, well, so much for that idea. It's not like an original idea anymore, whatever." And then he's like, and then he wanted to do like found footage stuff, and then Cloverfield happens, so then he has to scrap that again. And so this is like the premise, and this one is just like, it's like dealing with, you know, his bit is like, this is people who have to deal with a monster after the original movie yet, you know, where it's like, this is just every day. There's like the woman when they're getting the ride from the guy in the car, and they're like saying, you know, you just stay here. This is just part of life now. And just kind of like, yeah, well, you gotta, you know, where am I going to go? You know?
Yeah.
And so that people just still have their daily lives that deal with giant octopuses.
Yeah. And I like the fact that there's a definite,
that was a forced octopus.
I wonder if it, wait, there's an octopus in Rogue One, huh? I wonder if it's they look very similar.
An octopus in Rogue One? I don't remember that.
You remember they brought the, what's his, Forrest Whitaker? Brings that thing in and starts sucking on that dude's head?
Oh, vaguely.
Yeah.
Another thing I thought was great was, it's like, you know, like the notion of playing the king? You know what it means by that?
I understand, like chess, right?
No, it's like an acting thing they say. It's like,
oh, okay.
What makes like a person who plays a king doesn't play powerful. Mm-hmm. But it's the other people who play around the king that give the king his reverence and give him his power.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, so the king doesn't do anything. It's just that the other people, the way they behave because he's the king is what makes the king.
Oh, okay.
In the movie. And so in that sense, like the idea of playing the king in the sense of like a reverence for there's big monsters that they have to deal with. I thought every time in the movie when something's happening and someone goes, shh, and you just have that moment there was fantastic because every time it felt tense.
Even when it was just like the cows, they hear this, the sound and they're like, oh, it's just cows.
It works so well. Just to go, shh, same thing. It's like, just watching, you know, like, you know, when you watch like ghost hunting shows and stuff, gets real scary and you lean in. It's fantastic. And it's a good moment to have like a jump scare or whatever. And I thought it was really great scariness in this movie. Mm-hmm. And suspensefulness. Like there's the noise in the woods. They get back in the boat. The boat breaks down. And it starts getting darker and like, you know, the dark is bad and the whole thing. I think all that was awesome. And then seeing the thing in the water, you don't know what it is.
Yeah. You can't tell what it is. And then it's the jet that pops up and you're like, oh, that's cool. It's just the jet. But then all of a sudden lights start flashing underneath it.
Right. But it's like, it's the jet. But how come the jet's moving like that?
Yeah. Why is it just surfacing now? And then clearly there's something underneath it.
Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Well, there's just before they got on the boat, when they're at the part, when they get to the part where it's like, this is the last step, you know, nothing else goes ahead and everything's in quarantine and animals can't go. Uh-huh. And there was the bed of that truck and it looked like there was basically just a bunch of animals in bags with their heads sticking out. Uh-huh. It was very weird, but also kind of disturbing. Like there was like dogs with their heads sticking out of these bags. Like they can't move. They're stuck in the bag. Uh-huh. But it's like everything, chickens, they're all being put in the back of this truck. And I was like, oh no, what's happening to these animals?
That's the thing is this movie, they went to like, I guess the majority of it was shot on location. And I think it was in places that were affected by hurricanes. Mm. So like, everything felt real. So when you see stuff like that, like the chickens and the dogs, you're like, I know they went with like a skeleton crew. I think there was like something like a crew of like 7 people.
Right.
It's like, why are they
acting? What's going on here?
Is that production design or is that something they came across? Yeah. Like, that's fact that you weird.
Couldn't tell was really, yeah, for sure.
So the whole thing kind of gave this realistic, like, vibe to it and not knowing, you know, what was real. And there's like a lot of signs in the movie, like things that say quarantine zone and stuff like that. And I'm like, is that digitally added? Are these real signs? Did they go to certain places where like, it was really tough to tell sometimes. Like there's some like obvious stuff, like, you know, maybe some skyscrapers and stuff that, you know, were burnt out. Like, there was some digital stuff that you can kind of tell, but other stuff that you couldn't tell. So it's like, but it still felt very, very realistic. And totally. Just like based on the aftermath of what you see, you're like, okay, these monsters are going to be crazy. We definitely don't want to run into any. So the whole atmosphere of the movie, I don't think the movie would have worked as well if it wasn't shot on locations. And then with the casting, you know, I don't know if, like, I feel like the guy who played the ferry worker, he felt real. Like, I don't know. He felt
real.
Yeah. I don't know if that was just a real guy.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was so great. It's like, everyone felt like they just grabbed the guy that was there or something and they pulled it out. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I bought everybody.
Yeah. And even like the gorillas, when they're sitting around the campfire and the one's telling the story.
Yeah.
I felt like, is he just telling a real story about not monsters? Did they just ask this guy to tell a story and then they just edited it to be like,
so tell a story about something big?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it was like maybe 150 meters. So then I was like, I look, you know, there are website conversions for it'll turn any measurement into football fields, mm-hmm. which I was like, awesome. Because like that's our standard.
Yeah.
So it's 1.64 football fields. It's just the same as yards, basically. It's like switching it to yards. So the trees. Mm-hmm. With the light up, basically the like mushroom things on the sides of the trees that light up.
They look like, they remind me of shark eggs.
Those are the eggs of the octopus?
That's what I believe.
That's what I believe too.
Because it said they would, from there, they would crawl back into the river.
Right.
So kind of like a turtle, like the eggs get laid on the trees and then they, I thought they looked cool. They look like shark eggs. Have you ever seen a shark egg?
I mean, I thought they look like those trees that grow, those funguses that grow on the side of trees. Mm-hmm. They kind of look like they make little shelves.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wondered if you could just shoot that and then do like CG effects over that shape to give it the lighting and all that kind of stuff that it did. How do you feel about the relationshipy stuff?
I mean, it kind of has to carry the story since it's the story is getting from point A to point B. So you need, you know, there's only two people really in the movie. I was okay with it because they were kind of, I don't know, by the end of it, it's hard. It was fine. It was a little bit different because he was kind of he's an asshole.
Right. Like when he started on, like, going, hey, and where he's, like, drunk, and he's like, hey, do you want to, should I come in? Okay, you know, all right, well, should I come in? He was, like, kind of, like, and I was, like, going, okay, oh, it's so
lecherous. But then that leads them to getting the passport stolen. So it's, like, kind of, like.
But before that happens, there's the whole, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing moment? Yeah. And I was just like, oh, come on, guys. What are you doing?
I was fine with it.
I had trouble with it. And I can't say exactly why, but there was something about this that gave me a kind of an aversion to it in the way that, like when I was a kid and then the mushy part of a movie would come on and I'd be like going, eh, come on. You know, it's like that, like I was like, for some reason in this movie, that's what happened to me.
Huh.
And when we get to, where it went later, I was like, oh boy. The attack on the truck, I thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
When the two trucks are going through.
Yeah.
And then after we know that he had this thing about that her dad pays him $50,000 for a picture of a dead kid killed by the monster. And then there is a dead kid situation to deal with. And you see him reaching into his bag and he's pulling out his lenses. And you're like going, oh, he's going to take a picture of that kid. And then he ends up covering with the jacket. It's a good moment. Because it definitely was, you know, it played right into us. We felt it was going to go one way, and it went another way. But that was great.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals when they first see the wall, I thought was cool. It's pretty spectacular. Kind of like the Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Wall theory.
And it's kind of a cool. It was kind of a cool twist when they, you know, that's their kind of where they go for freedom. That's like, we made it here. Cool. What are you going to do tomorrow? Meaning, you know, we're, you know, none of this is going to matter anymore. But when you get to the other side of the wall and nobody's at the gate, you realize that the wall didn't work and there's, you know, there's still that threat on the other side.
Mm, yeah, that's good. Good catch.
One thing I didn't remember. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Speaking of walls, something that I forgot to mention earlier is that mural with the pictures of the octopuses.
Oh, yeah.
and stuff. That was cool too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that was not opportunistic, that there just happened to be an octopus.
Yeah. But that's what I want to know. Like, with the, it seems like the production was such a, which is, was such a small production.
Yeah. It was like 500,000.
Yeah. Did like Gareth Edwards just go out there and paint on a wall, or was that like digitally added later? And if so, it looked pretty good.
It would look really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not the, it is the best CGI effects go completely unnoticed because they blend in with the movie. Yeah. And so there's probably, I'd give them for the, all the like visual production design, you know, was fantastic.
And then I don't know, like, because they were out shooting on location, like, were there really tanks around? Were those CG tanks? I don't know what, it's hard to figure out what's added and what's not. Like I said, sometimes it's obvious, but sometimes I just didn't know.
Yeah, the only thing that was obvious, I think, was when they were doing the tentacle inside the... For me. I mean, that's the only thing that was like... Listen, obviously it's hard to CGI organic matter.
Yeah.
Then,
did you ever see The Mist with Thomas Jane? It was... who directed that? It was... he did Shawshank.
I don't think I did. Thomas Jane is The Punisher, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I did.
It reminded me of that. It's all about, we might even, I don't know if we would do it on this show.
If it counts, is there monsters?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it does count. It's a bummer of a movie, but it's just like a group of people. It's Stephen King, right? And then it's a bunch of people trapped in a supermarket, and there's creatures that are coming in from this mist. So there's like sort of like pterodactyl creatures, and there's like giant tentacles that reach in and grab, and
cool,
and other things.
No, I've never seen this.
Maybe around Halloween time, Frank Darabont. Maybe around Halloween time, something we could take a look at.
All right, cool.
The one thing I don't remember from watching it the previous time is the quacking lady.
Oh yeah. I liked that they're like, excuse me, and she stops the cart, and it's just this long moment of them just standing there and staring at each other, and just, I thought that was great. I thought just taking the moment and like, and then it's kind of in a sense like no one knows what to do next. And it's like, okay. My favorite monster reveal was the shot outside at the gas station, and the lightning lights the one on the approach.
Yeah, the backlit.
So good.
Yeah.
The tentacle got scared when the TV got turned off.
I couldn't tell what was going on. It almost looked like it was either drawing power from the TV, or maybe it was attracted to it. Like a moth to the light, because during the truck attack, he covers up. Yeah, he turns off the light. And
thing about that, yeah.
So I don't know if it, when the TV goes, it reacted to that. I don't know.
And then they're outside, and they're like, "Oh, an octopus," and then another octopus shows up, and they start touching. And then I was like, "Oh no, oh no, they're gonna do it."
It's just like Godzilla.
They're going to do it. And then it cuts to them watching the octopuses do it. Uh-huh. And they're almost like getting teary eyed. Like, it's so beautiful. And then the octopuses get real shy. And they...
Yeah. I think that was my only problem with the relationship, was the kiss at the end. I was like,
I don't want to go home. Yeah. And then, Yeah. I was like, I wrote, oh, more feelings. So the whole thing, then, I mean, are we at the end? Are you at the end?
I'm out of notes.
Then the whole thing is, then the military guys show up, you know, that we all, it's the same guys, they show up and they're like, we got them, you know, one man, one female, right? And they grab them, they take them away. Mm-hmm. And then I was like sitting there in my head doing like closing voiceover, like, because in the end they are just one male and one female after all. Like, it's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah. It's definitely different though than what we normally cover.
Yeah.
It's light on the monsters, but it's kind of cool to see a more realistic take on the aftermath.
Yeah, and it's a really good achievement in low budget mm-hmm. movie making. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, and it makes sense. It makes sense for him to go on to do Godzilla and Rogue One. I think it's funny if like after seeing this and then seeing the kissing Muto and Godzilla, yeah. I was waiting for like some AT-ATs to like go disappear into some smoke. But he does like the way he shoots, and I'm glad they did it in Rogue One too, was he's very handheld. He does handheld stuff, and I know with Godzilla he wanted to make sure every shot, every camera angle was from something, a physical location.
I mean this one he shot completely, right? He shot it He was actually holding the camera himself. It was good. It was a good achievement.
Yeah, and then it said that he has a visual effects credit on it too.
So yeah, it said that he did it himself. He created the visual effects himself using like Adobe or using like After Effects or something.
That's crazy. I mean, I like it as a movie. Of course, I want more.
He says Edwards created the visual effects himself using off-the-shelf Adobe software, ZBrush, and Autodesk 3DS Max.
God, I wonder how long it took him to do all that.
He had 5 months to create all 250 visual effects shots. The process he undertook in his bedroom.
That's producing nuts.
Two shots a day until he reached the first creature shot, when suddenly 2 months went by and he still hadn't figured out a single creature shot.
That's crazy. I mean...
Oh, interesting. Due to time constraints, the sound effects had to be produced before the visual effects.
Oh.
Wow. Huh. There's a sequel.
Really?
Did you know that?
No.
Sequel called Monsters, Dark Continent. Not as well received by critics.
Okay. Well, I had no idea.
Oh. What? Channel 4 is developing a TV series based on the movie as of January 2018.
Oh, that's... recent.
Yeah.
Directed by Tom Green. Monsters Dark Continent, directed by Tom Green. It must be a different one.
Than what you're thinking? Yeah. I think so.
Oh, it looks like it follows the military.
Oh, that's cool.
Huh. Okay, cool. Sure. Yeah, we'll see if I add this to the list. Might as well, but I don't know if I'm itching to
watch it. Not in a hurry. Not in a hurry to get there. It's like, I don't think it cracks our top five.
No, definitely not. But, the fact that it was all made pretty much by Gareth Edwards, like it's an achievement and it's really interesting.
Yeah, I think he deserves all the jobs he got from this movie for sure.
Yeah.
Totally is great.
Yeah. Awesome. You want to talk about next episode?
Yes.
Okay. Cause I'm excited to talk about it. We're going to be talking about Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Yes.
Which I
cannot, so excited!
I cannot wait to talk about this movie.
Just so we can get to we wanted to, because we know we're gonna, because War of the Gargantuas is something I've been itching to get to for so long.
Yeah.
So seeing this, which is the more or less prequel to it, I was like, we have to let's watch this one first and get to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's okay. Gonna be good.
Until then, you can follow us, go to kaijupod.com. It has links to our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That also has the list, the big kaiju list that shows, the movies we've covered. And it also has links to the movies that we are going to watch. So if you want to watch, Frankenstein Conquers the World, go to the list, click on the link, and you'll be able to watch it. And, that's all I have. Until next time. Oh, boy.
I'm going to practice putting on my gas mask. What was the gas? Now, there was nothing in the gas mask that paid off. Like, oh, he didn't have his gas mask on. Something happened.
I think it was more just the fear.
Preventative?
Yeah. And because when they saw the quacking lady.
She clearly doesn't have a gas
mask. Yeah, so they took it off. But I mean, like. She seems pretty crazy. Yeah, maybe she should keep the gas mask on. But until next time.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go stare at some octopus sex.
I was about to be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?